Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Ever feel like you're juggling a million things?
Oh, yeah.
Work, family, friends, personal goals.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to manage. Well, today's deep dive is going to give you, I think, a whole new framework for understanding and tackling that complexity. We're diving into the work of Professor Derek Hitchens,
okay,
a retired RAF wing commander,
wow,
turned system scientist.
Interesting.
This guy's a bit of a legend, not only an INCOS fellow, but also named an INCOS pioneer.
And he's come up with these brilliant models for understanding any system, whether it's a single cell, a giant corporation, or even, you know, your own life.
We're talking about his generic reference models, or GRMs. He actually formulated these back in 1992, and they're still incredibly relevant today. Mm. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, I have to ask about this Hitchens poached egg thing.
Uh-huh.
It sounds intriguing, to say the least.
It's a great way to visualize one of Hitchens' key insights.
Okay.
Systems are both hierarchical and networked.
Okay.
Imagine a poached egg.
Yeah.
The yolk is the system itself. The white is the environment. And all those little strands connecting them represent the flow of information and resources.
So it's not just a top-down chain of command.
Early.
There are connections across different levels.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm starting to see how this could apply to, say, a team at work where you have, you know, different roles.
Yeah.
But everyone needs to be connected to function effectively.
Exactly. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's go back to basics.
Okay.
What exactly are a system, according to Hitchens? He defines it as an open set of interacting parts creating a complex whole.
Right.
And that whole can be material, like a car, or immaterial, like a set of ideas.
Okay, so anything with interacting parts contributing to a bigger picture.
Yes.
And his models give us tools to understand these systems better.
Right.
That brings us to the GRMs.
Right, and there are three main ones: form, function, and behavior. Each gives us a different lens for understanding how a system works.
Let's start with form. What's the key insight here?
The form model states that all systems have a structure, a form, that defines their potential. And a key concept here is entropy.
Okay.
Which is essentially a measure of disorder.
Huh?
Hitchens argues that the more organized a system is, the lower its entropy and the more potential it has.
So it's like that saying, a place for everything and everything in its place.
You
the
wish.
More organized you are, the more efficiently you can operate.
Yes.
I know when my desk is cluttered, it's definitely harder to focus.
That's a perfect example. By minimizing entropy, whether it's in your personal life or a large organization, you unlock potential.
Right.
And increase efficiency.
Okay. That makes sense. Now, what about function? This one seems particularly relevant to our, you know, busy lives.
The function model gets to the heart of what a system does. It breaks down function into three essential aspects: mission, viability, and resources.
Okay.
And what's fascinating is how this applies to everything, from planning a vacation to running a company.
So every system has a purpose.
Right.
Needs to be able to sustain itself.
Yes.
And needs resources to operate.
Exactly.
It sounds simple, but I bet it gets complicated quickly.
It does, but let's stick with the vacation example.
Yeah.
Your mission is to relax and explore a new place. Your viability depends on things like having enough money, a valid passport, and knowing the local customs. And your resources are your budget, your travel documents, your suitcase, maybe a good travel guide.
Okay, I see how that maps onto the model.
Yes.
And thinking about viability, I can see how a lack of resources, like not having enough money,
right,
could really impact your ability to achieve that relaxing vacation mission.
Yes.
It highlights how interconnected these three aspects are.
Absolutely. And you can scale this up to anything. Hmm. Think about a company launching a new product. Their mission is to capture market share. Their viability depends on factors like having a solid product, effective marketing, and managing their finances well. And their resources include everything from their employees to their manufacturing facilities to their marketing budget.
So the function model gives us a framework for understanding not just what a system does,
right,
but also how it sustains itself.
Yes.
And what it needs to operate. That's pretty powerful.
It is. And it leads nicely into our next GRM behavior.
Okay. Behavior. This is where it gets really interesting,
right?
Because we all know systems, especially those involving people, don't always act in predictable ways.
You're right. Human behavior can be complex. Hitchens' behavior model combines the concepts of nature versus nurture with stimulus response.
Okay.
But he takes it further by drawing on Jung's view of the psyche.
So he's taking psychology into account.
Exactly. It's not just about instinctual responses, but also learned behaviors, cultural influences, beliefs, and even those, you know, subconscious biases we all carry around.
So even seemingly irrational behavior can be understood if we analyze the system's history, its belief systems, and how it interprets the stimuli it's receiving. That's a game changer for understanding, well, just about anything involving people.
It is. Think about how this applies to international relations. Two countries might react very differently to the same event based on their history, their cultural values, and their current political climate. The behavior model helps us understand why those differences exist.
This is giving me a whole new perspective on, well, everything. We've gone from a simple definition of a system to understanding its potential, its function, and even how it behaves.
Yes.
And I'm guessing this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Professor Hitchens' work.
You're right. We're just getting started. He builds on these foundational concepts to develop even more sophisticated models, like his viable systems model, or HVSM.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this HVSM. What does it bring to the table?
The HVSM goes deeper into how systems not only survive, but thrive in challenging environments.
Okay.
It's like a blueprint for resilience and adaptability.
I'm already thinking about how this could apply to my own life. We all face challenges, both personal and professional. And figuring out how to navigate those successfully is key. I'm ready to dive in. All right. So we've laid the groundwork with Hitchens' generic reference models, form, function, and behavior. Now let's dig into this HVSM, the viable systems model.
Okay.
What makes a system truly viable in Hitchens' view?
It's all about adaptability and resilience.
Okay.
Being able to not only survive, but thrive in a constantly changing environment.
Yeah.
Think of it as a system that's constantly learning, adapting, and evolving.
It's like that quote, "It is not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent, but the one most responsive to change." I'm guessing Hitchens would agree with that.
He absolutely would. And the HVSM gives us a framework for understanding how that adaptability works.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks down a viable system into three key elements.
Okay.
Mission management, resource management, and viability management.
Okay, let's break those down one by one, starting with mission management. What's the core idea here?
Think of it as the brain of the system. It's about setting objectives, developing strategies, and executing plans to achieve the system's overall mission.
Uh-huh.
But it's not a static process. It's a dynamic cycle of sensing information, analyzing the environment, making decisions, and adapting the approach as needed.
So it's not just about setting a goal and blindly following a plan. It's about being responsive, making adjustments along the way based on what's happening in the environment.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense, especially in today's world where things are constantly changing.
Exactly. And this applies to everything from a small team working on a project to a global organization responding to a crisis.
Okay, let's move on to resource management. This seems pretty straightforward. But I'm guessing Hitchens has some insights here that go beyond just, you know, making sure you have enough stuff.
You're right. It's more than just having resources. It's about managing them effectively.
Yep.
And that involves a whole cycle of activities. Acquiring resources, storing them, distributing them where they're needed, converting them into useful forms, and even disposing of them responsibly.
So it's about the entire life cycle of resources from beginning to end. And I can see how this would be crucial for a system's viability. If you're not managing resources well, you're not going to be able to achieve your mission no matter how well planned it is.
Absolutely. And this applies to all kinds of resources, not just physical things like money or materials. Think about time management, for example. Time is a finite resource. And if we're not managing it effectively, we're not going to be able to achieve our goals.
That's so true. I'm already starting to see how these concepts can be applied to my own life. Now, what about viability management? This one sounds like it encompasses a lot.
It does. Viability management is all about ensuring the system can survive and thrive in the long term.
Okay.
It's about maintaining a healthy balance, adapting to change, and ensuring all the parts are working together effectively.
So it's like a holistic approach to system health and well-being.
Exactly. And Hitchens uses a handy acronym to break it down. S-M-E-S-H.
S-M-E-S-H. Okay, I'm all ears. What does that stand for?
It stands for survivability, maintenance, evolution, synergy, and homeostasis.
All right, let's unpack those. Survivability seems pretty self-explanatory.
Right.
It's about ensuring the system continues to exist.
Right. It's about protecting the system from threats and ensuring its continued existence. This could involve anything from physical defenses to more sophisticated strategies like risk management and crisis planning.
So thinking about a business, this could be anything from having insurance to cybersecurity measures to a plan for dealing with a natural disaster.
Exactly. Now, maintenance is about keeping the system in good working order, making sure all the parts are functioning properly, and addressing any issues that arise.
So regular checkups, repairs, upgrades, it's like preventative care for a system.
That's a great analogy. Now, evolution is where things get really interesting. It's about the system's ability to adapt and change over time to meet new challenges and take advantage of new opportunities.
So it's not just about maintaining the status quo. It's about constantly learning and improving, becoming a better version of itself over time. I like that.
And this is crucial for long-term viability. Think about companies that failed to adapt to the rise of the internet. They didn't evolve, and they ultimately became obsolete.
That's a sobering example. Okay, what about synergy? What does that mean in the context of a viable system?
Synergy is all about the power of collaboration. It's about ensuring all the parts of the system are working together effectively, maximizing their collective potential.
So it's not just about individual parts doing their own thing. It's about creating a whole that's greater than the sum of its parts.
Exactly. Think about a sports team. If each player is just focused on their own performance and not working together, they're not going to win many games. But when they have synergy, when they're playing as a cohesive unit, they can achieve amazing things.
That's a great example. Okay, finally, homeostasis. What's that all about?
Homeostasis is about maintaining stability and balance within the system, even when external conditions are changing.
Okay.
It's about having mechanisms in place to regulate and adjust to maintain a healthy equilibrium.
So it's like a self-regulating system that can adapt to keep things running smoothly, even when there are disruptions or challenges.
Precisely. Think about your body's ability to regulate its temperature. Even when it's hot outside, your body sweats to cool itself down and maintain a stable internal temperature.
Okay, that's a helpful analogy. So SME, SH-ish, survivability, maintenance, evolution, synergy, and homeostasis. These are the five key elements of viability management.
And together, they provide a comprehensive framework for understanding how a system can thrive in the long term.
This is a lot to take in, but I'm starting to see how powerful these concepts are. I'm already thinking about how I can apply them to my own life, to my work, to my relationships. But before we get into that, I have to ask, we talked earlier about the Hitchens poached egg model. How does that relate to the HVSM?
That's a great question. Remember how the poached egg illustrated the hierarchical and networked nature of systems? Well, the HVSM actually builds on that idea.
Okay, so the yolk is still the system itself, and the white is the environment.
Exactly. But now imagine those strands connecting the yolk to the white, representing the three elements of the HVSM: mission management, resource management, and viability management.
So the system is constantly interacting with its environment, managing its mission, its resources, and its own viability through those connections. That's a really cool way to visualize it.
And it highlights how crucial it is for a viable system to be open to its environment, constantly taking in information and adapting its behavior accordingly.
This is blowing my mind a little bit. It's amazing how all these concepts are interconnected. And I'm guessing this isn't even the most complex model Hitchens has come up with.
You're right, he takes this even further with his layered HVSM and even a model that maps these concepts onto a human being.
Okay, hold on. We're talking about representing a person as a viable system. Now I'm really intrigued. Tell me more. Okay, I need to hear more about this idea of a human as a viable system. It sounds like something straight out of science fiction.
It might sound futuristic, but it's actually a very practical way to understand ourselves and how we operate in the world. Hitchens calls it the anthropomorphic HVSM.
So we're taking all these concepts we've been talking about.
Right.
Mission management, resource management, viability management, and applying them to a single person.
Exactly. Think about it. Each of us has a mission in life, whether it's our career goals, our family aspirations, or simply living a meaningful and fulfilling life.
And we all have resources, time, energy, skills, knowledge, relationships, things we have to manage effectively to achieve those missions.
Right. And of course, we face challenges along the way. Those are our viability challenges. Things like stress, setbacks, health issues, relationship problems, anything that threatens our ability to function effectively and achieve our goals.
So just like any other system, we have to manage our missions, our resources, and our own viability to be successful. I'm starting to see how this model could be a really powerful tool for self-improvement.
It absolutely is. For example, think about the concept of entropy we discussed earlier. If you apply that to your personal life, you can see how minimizing clutter and chaos, whether it's in your physical space, your schedule, or even your mind, can free up energy and resources to focus on what's truly important.
That's a great point. It's like clearing out the mental cobwebs to make space for new ideas and growth. And what about the SMESH elements of viability management? How do those apply to a person?
Well, survivability could mean taking care of your physical and mental health, setting boundaries to protect your time and energy, or even having a financial safety net.
Maintenance would be things like developing healthy habits, continuing to learn and grow, and nurturing your relationships.
Exactly. Evolution could mean being open to new experiences, stepping outside your comfort zone, and adapting to changes in your life.
Synergy would be about building strong relationships and collaborating effectively with others. And homeostasis would be about maintaining a sense of balance and well-being, even when life throws you curveballs.
You've got it. It's about understanding yourself as a complex system and taking a holistic approach to managing all the different aspects of your life.
I'm really starting to see the potential of this model. It's like having a roadmap for personal growth and resilience.
And what's even more fascinating is that Hitchens doesn't stop there. He takes this idea of systems thinking even further, with models that can be used to analyze complex organizations, social systems, even global issues.
So we can use these models to understand not just ourselves, but also the world around us.
Exactly. Think about the challenges we face as a society. Climate change, political polarization, economic inequality. These are all complex systems problems. And Hitchens' work gives us tools to understand those problems and develop more effective solutions.
This is pretty mind-blowing stuff. We've gone from poached eggs to personal growth to tackling global challenges. It's amazing how far-reaching these concepts are.
And that's the beauty of systems thinking. It gives us a framework for understanding complexity and interconnectedness, whether we're talking about our own lives, our organizations, or the world as a whole.
This has been an incredible deep dive. I feel like I have a whole new set of lenses for viewing the world and approaching challenges.
That's the power of Hitchens' work. It's not just about understanding systems. It's about using that understanding to create positive change.
For our listeners who are feeling inspired to apply these concepts, where would you recommend they start?
I would say start by simply observing the systems around you. Pay attention to the relationships, the cause and effect loops, the feedback mechanisms, and don't be afraid to ask questions, to challenge assumptions, and to look for the patterns beneath the surface.
And remember, even small changes can have a ripple effect. By applying these principles in our own lives and encouraging others to do the same, we can start to create a more resilient and sustainable world.
Well said. It's been a pleasure exploring these ideas with you.
Likewise. And to our listeners, we encourage you to keep those systems thinking caps on and happy exploring.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems? Take care.